Okay, we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Mishnah begins, HaChashud al HaShvi'it, Eino Chashud al HaMaserut. Someone who is Chashud to, whether it's the sell Perot Shvi'it, or that he does not protect the Kedushat of the Shvi'it, who works the land. Eino Chashud al HaMaserut. There is not Chashud, not to be Mafrish Maser. Ve'ein Tzrichim Maser Vaday Elo Demai, as Rashi says. You don't have to be maser bevadai. We assume that he does it, or there's at least a safek of as whether he removes the maser from it. Chashud al masrot. When it comes to the masrot, if he's chashud on the masrot, ain't a chashud al shvi'it. There's no implications in terms of whether he's chashud on the shvi'it. The maser we're speaking about here is maser sheni. We'll see that from the Gemara, that's the assumption of the Gemara. Now, we're not speaking about here is maser rishon or maser ani, maser sheni. Chashud al ze ve'al ze. Someone who is chashud both on ma'asrot and shvi'it, chashud al ta'arot. Then he is chashud on ta'arot, that is, acting like a chaver, eating his chulin b'tahara, to being shomer issues of tahara, even though he's not a kohen. V'yeshu chashud al ta'arot, there's a possibility that someone does not keep the laws of tahara, v'einu chashud lo al ze v'lo al ze, but he will not be chashud on the shvi'it or the ma'asrot. Ze aklal. Chashud al davar echad, lo dono v'lo me'ido. Someone who is chashud on a particular item or particular issue, he cannot be don that issue, and he cannot testify about the issue. He's not trusted whatsoever when it comes to that issue in particular. But that doesn't mean it has necessarily has implications or broader implications about his trustworthiness. My time, what's the reason here that we say that a chashud al shvi'it ain't a chashud al masrot? Is because shvi'it lo ba'i chuma. Shvi'it does not require to be brought up to Yerushalayim, to be in and inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Maser, given to ba'i chuma, chamirle. Maser, since it requires, or is required to be brought up to Yerushalayim, to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim, he considers that to be more stringent, more kadosh. And therefore, even though he's chashud al shvi'it, he wouldn't do anything with maaser or maaser sheni. This is a reason given why he could be chashud al shvi'it, but yet not chashud al masrot. Because he sees maaser in a different realm than he sees shvi'it.
Maybe all the masrot. I'm asking.
It sounds like no, that it doesn't apply to other masrot. The Gemara focuses only on maaser sheni, doesn't say what the implications are for other masrot. You look here, the Tosfot says, Mikan medaktek rabbeinu tam, bekol makom shizkir maaser itzel shvi'it, anytime you see word maser stam with shvi'it, it's talking about maser sheni, and it's not talking about maser rishon. Seems from the Tosafot as well that it's maser sheni and nothing else. Now we do have the member of the Gemara in other places that they were mafrish truma gedola. Roba me'aretz are maserim. It's only a miut that is not maser, and therefore we are only maser mi demai. We only do it mi safek that we take off maser rishon. Right, so now the other way around. Chashur la maser. My time off. Why is there a reason if you're chashud al maaser sheni that you're not chashud al shvi'it? Maaser itlei pidyon. Maaser sheni, you can redeem it. So since you can transfer the kedusha, and they think, it's no big deal. It's not tofes, it's kedusha, so it can't be such a big deal. Shvi'it, kevin de mitzvah lei, v'leitlei pidyon, chamir lei. Shvi'it, which becomes asur, has kedusha shvi'it, and you can't transfer it. You can't redeem that kedusha. It happens to be that if you purchase items with it, the kedusha does transfer, but it remains with the original fruits as well. The kedusha, we've seen this many times, the shvi'it is on the last item that you exchange it for, plus the original item. So the kedusha never leaves the perot shvi'it. This person thinks about maaser sheni, he says, what's the big deal? It can't be that kadosh, you can redeem it. It can't be that important. But shvi'it, where you can't get rid of the kedusha cannot leave the perot, that must be much more chamor. And therefore he treats the shvi'it as a Easter that's more chamor than maaser sheni. That's why if you're chashud on one, you're not chashud on the other, because there are reasons why people would be makpid on one and not makpid on the other. Chashud al zev v'alzeh. How come if you're chashud on shvi'it and maaser sheni, then you're chashud al tarot? Even the chashid al deoraita, since you're chashud on things that are min haTorah, shvi'it and maaser sheni, kol shekena derabonon. The inyan of tarot is all din derabonon. It's a extra chumrah that's taken on by the chaverim in order to eat their chulin b'tahara, in order to hold themselves to that higher standard, the same standard as the Kohanim, when they eat their Truma. It makes sense, what you're saying. All right. V'yesh chashur al tarot, and the other way around, my time, Nihida darabonon choshid adoraita lo choshid. If he's chashur al tarot, doesn't mean that he's going to violate an Isra doraita. Just because he's chashur al tarot, doesn't mean he's not going to take care of his shvi'it, take care of his masrot. Viriminhu. Is this really true? Neman al tarot, Neman ala shvi'it. Someone who's neman is tarot, is neman on his shvi'it. Now that should be from a kavachomer. Because if he's Neman on the Tarot, which is a Din de Rabbonon, then certainly Neman on the Shvi'it, which is a Din de Oraita. So that should be a Kal v'chomer. And it was unnecessary for us to have a Braita to tell us this information. It's obvious. So that means it must be there for the Diuk, which is Ha, Chashid, Chashid. The implications of this are, if he was Chashud al Tarot, that he'd also be Chashud al Shvi'it, which would go against the logic of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you're Chashud al Tarot, you're not Chashud al Shvi'it. So Amar Bilai, Matanitin, Kishiri'inu, Shenoheg v'tzina b'toch beto. Our Mishnah is when we see him practicing this way in his house. Again, the idea being that he just doesn't do this for public consumption. He's not just pretending. He's not a hypocrite. He does this in his own house. So when we see him doing it in his own house, that he's keeping Shvi'it, and we see him being a makpidin on his house when nobody else is around, then we know that Shvi'it is something that's important to him. He's going to keep it. So that's the difference. In our Mishnah, the reason he's not a Choshud al Shvi'it or the Masorot is because that's what he practices in the house. We've seen him practice that way in his house. And therefore, he's Naaman by Tarot. If he's Choshud al Tarot, that has any implications for the other things. In the Braita is where we don't know anything about him. If it's a Choshud al Tarot, he's Choshud al Shvi'it. That's the first answer. He was Choshud on both of them, Shvi'it and Tarot. And then he went ahead and he accepted both of them. He says, yes, I'm going to be better. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to keep the issue of Perot Shvi'it. I'm going to keep Taharot from now on. I'm going to be Shomer and watch out for these items and be Makpid on them. And then afterwards he becomes Chashud on Taharot again. So this is, he's defining for us the Buraita. The Buraita is a case where he was originally Choshud al Shvi'it, Choshud al Tarot. Then he's Mikabel, he accepted upon himself that he will keep to the stringencies of Perot Shvi'it and Tarot. And then we see him violating that with the Tarot. So once we see him violating it with Tarot, we assume that if he broke down here, he's going to break down by Perot Shvi'it as well, and we don't trust it anymore. And that's why the Braita says, Choshid ala Tarot, Choshid ala Shvi'it. Even though the logic wouldn't dictate that way, but that's because of the background to the case. This past influences how we view his Choshad here. Okay, Amar Rabbi Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Zu divrei Rabbi Akiva stimto. Our Mishnah is Estam Mishnah aliba de Rabbi Akiva. So Rashi says, brings two interpretations. One is that, like the way we say it everywhere else in Shas, that even though this is a Stam Mishnah, it's really authored by Rabbi Akiva. It's really authored by Yadat Yachid. The other possibility is, we know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that all Mishnayot, all Tanaic works are Alibid Rabbi Akiva, because it's his Talmidim that did it. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, Stam Breito is Rabbi Nechemio, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. They were all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So that could be the explanation. Rashi rejects that over here because we have other places in Shas, for instance, where it says, Rabbi Menachem Stimta, Rabbi Shimon Stimta. How are you going to explain that there? That you can't explain because that's not like Rabbi Akiva is a unique personality. So he thinks that it follows the pattern that we see other places, which means that he's the author of this Mishnah. Chachamim believe that if you're Choshud on Shvi'it, you're Choshud on Maaser. There is no differentiation here. Man Chachamim, or the Chachamim over here, Rabbi Huda. Because in Rabbi Yehuda's city, then Shvi'it was chamur for them. So therefore, if you were chashud ala Shvi'it, then you're certainly chashud ala maser. But that would not be true the other way around. Meaning that, based on what we're suggesting over here, you would not be able to reverse that. If he was chashud al hamaser, does not mean that he's chashud ala Shvi'it. It's only a one-way track, because of the fact that it was more chamur to them Shvi'it. But where Maaser, where it wasn't chamur to them, that we would not say that. Yeah, so he said that that was not consideration in Rabbi Yehuda's city. They thought Perot Shvi'it were very chamur, and therefore there's only one way to go here. If you're chashud on Shvi'it, you're chashud on everything. I mean, you're chashud on the Maaser as well. So as opposed to the Mishnah, which gives us the possibility of going both ways, in Rabbi Yehuda's city it only went one way. So, David Karile Lechavre, Diarya Bat Diarto. Person was putting down his friend. He was obviously upset at him. He was saying to him, he says, you are a Ger Bar Girovet. Now, whether he was or wasn't, I'm not sure, but that was a bad name in those days. He called you a Ger Ben Giorit. Samalei, Taitali, Dolach Le, Perot Shvi'it, Kavatech. Says, maybe I'm a Ger Ben Giorit, but listen, I don't eat Perot Shvi'it like you do. So you can see from that the chumra that they held in terms of Perot Shvi'it. Iged Amri, Amar Rabba Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Zu, Divrei Rabbi Kivas Timta. Al Chachamim Omrim Chashud Al Maser, Chashud al shvit. Uman chachamim. Who are the chachamim here? Rabbi Meir. The mechamar chashud the dvar echad. Rabbi chashud the chol haTorah kula. Rabbi Meir's of the shita. We'll see in a second that if he's chashud in one item, he's willing to violate a doraita. It has broad implications. Then he will be chashud on anything in the dinei doraita. So as opposed to Rabbi Huda, where only went one way. If he's chashud al shvit, he's chashud al maser. Not the other way. Here, Rabbi Meir, it won't matter. If it's chashud al shvit, you're going to be chashud al maser. Chashud al maser, you're going to be chashud al shvit because it's irrelevant what it is. If you're in violation of a doraita, then you're chashud al kol haTorah kula. Bi'ena Yona, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Talmidei de Rabbi Zera. V'amri lo, Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Zera, Talmidei de Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amar, aval chachamim omrim. Chachamim say, chashud al shvit, chashud al maser. Uman chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, that if you're chashud al shvit, you're chashud al maser, and who's the author of that position? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Chad amar, chashud al maser, chashud al shvit, uman chachamim, Rabbi Meir. So we have these two opinions. What we had suggested, the people who argue on Rabbi Akiva, here we have it laid out in a machloket about who the Chachamim are, whether it's Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda. Titanya, and here's the Braita that gives their opinion. Amaretz, shekibel alav divrei chaverut. So Amaretz who accepted upon himself to the dinei chaverut. Now the dinei chaverut, lo yitain shuma maser l'amaretz. He doesn't give shuma maser l'amaretz. So he said tarot, it's l'amaretz. He doesn't do his tarot. In that when he's working with his foods, he doesn't do them with the amaretz, so they don't come to me, and then it can be shomer, the truma, and the chala b'tara. V'shi ochal chulin b'tara. He eats his chulin b'tara. V'shi aser et shu ochel, v'shu mocher, v'shu lokeach. Takes my throat off what he eats, takes my throat off what he sells, and he takes my throat off what he buys. That's the basic framework of what a chaver does. And here he accepts upon himself the chaverut. V'nechshad, the davar achad, nechshav echol, haTorah kula, divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says that if he's found to be suspect in one area, then he's suspect in everything. If you're nechshad on something, you might have a yetzer hara for this thing, it might be difficult, this item. You're only chashud on that item. It doesn't have broader implications about your nemanut in other areas. And as Tosfot points out over here, it doesn't mean literally just that item. It means that item, b'chol adomelo, anything that's similar to it. Anything within that category or is similar to that category, he would be nechshad on. You're not going to limit it to this particular specific item case. It's something broadly. If he does not makpid on masrot, maybe he's not makpid on shumot. Meaning that you would keep everything in a package together, but you won't say it has broad implications to say that it's chashud al kol haTorah kula. Next, ager shekibel alav divrei Torah kula. Ager shekibel alav divrei Torah filo nechshad dvar echad abei chashud al kol haTorah. Ager who accepted upon himself the entire Torah, he converted with a full acceptance of the Torah, but then he becomes chashud al dvar echad. Afterwards, he becomes chashud on one. The case here is when it happened after he already accepted the Torah fully, and then we have a case where he becomes chashud. The question is, what's his status? Be chashud l'chol haTorah kula. So he is chashud al kol haTorah kula, which is like Rabbi Meir, and he's classified like an Yisrael mumar, which is the equivalent of a Yisrael who then went ahead and was memir dato, that went ahead and left the faith.
Why don't we say the word? Rabbi Meir doesn't say that about an amaretz.
What?
Rabbi Meir does not say that about an amaretz.
That what?
That if he was nechshad davar echad, nechshad kol haTorah, he's considered a mumar.
Right, the focus over here about Yisrael mumar is as opposed to not being a Jew at all. In the other case, fine, he's Yisrael mumar, but that we know because he was a Jew and now he's not keeping the Torah. Problem here is that this could undermine his whole gevut. Part of gevut is kabbalot mitzvot. And here we have a question about his Kabbalat HaMitzvot, because now he's nechshad on one of these things. So v'lo amrin et avi ovid kochavim gamur, ki lo nitzgayer. We don't say because now he's choshed, it's as if he never accepted the old mitzvot. But rather we say it's as if he accepted the old mitzvot, and now he's backpedaling, and he becomes an Yisrael mumar. The nafkamina is, di kadish kidushav kidushim. If he is mekadesh nisha, his kidushim are tofes. Because for an ovid kochavim, kidushim are not tofsim. They don't have any shaykhut to the parsha of kidushin. Whereas for a Jew, for Israel, even if he's a mumar, his kiddushim are tovsim. So that's a bit, the nafkamina between them is, does he have a classification of his Israel, mumar, or does he have a classification of an oved kochavim? But this is important. We don't therefore say, because we find out that he's not keeping one of the mitzvot, that it undermines his original gerut. Tarabana. Hakaba de kabel divrei chaverut, chutz mi devar achad. Someone who wants to accept chaverut, except for one item in it. We do not accept him. And that's what we said in Rashi. We had the whole list of items that you do. You don't give truma maser to the amaretz. You don't work on your foods in place of an amaretz. Take up masrot when you buy it, when you eat it, when you sell it. And you do your chulin b'tara. If he accept one of these things he doesn't want to do, then he doesn't have chaverut. This is the major issue today, which is Obi Kuchavim Shibala Kabel Divrei Torah. Obi Kuchavim is coming to convert. Chutz Midavar Echad. He just doesn't want to take one thing. He says, you know what, I'm okay with everything except this one item. Ein mikablim oto. We do not accept him. Gerut has to be complete and total. If this person has in mind not to take on one of the mitzvot, the gerut does not go through. Even dinei derabonon. Person is not willing to accept a din derabonon, a chumra derabonon, that the gerut is not complete, the gerut does not go through. So as opposed to the previous statement, which is, if we find out later that the person didn't do it, we assume that the gerut was done bishlemut, and now he has a din of Yisrael Mumar. But if we know up front that they're unwilling to accept even a chumra derabonon, we can't accept the gerut. And that's what comes up today. When you have gerut, especially leaving aside the issue that if it's done for marriage, which is very problematic, but many times there are migayir, people who clearly are not going to be shomrei Shabbat afterwards, are not going to keep the mitzvot afterwards. So how can it really be a kabbalat o mitzvot? How can it really be an accepted mitzvot? Here we say even a diktuk sofrim, they don't accept, it's not considered a kabbalat o mitzvot. So how with the knowledge that someone is not going to keep a single mitzvah afterwards is extremely problematic. V'chein bein Levi, sheba lekabel divrei Leviyah, the same thing is true by Levi. V'kohen shekabel divrei Keuna. Chutz midavar echad, if they do this with the exception of one item, ein mikablim oto, we don't accept them. Now what's divrei Leviyah and divrei Keuna? So Rashi explains, divrei is l'shorer, to be a singer or a sharet and to serve in the Mikdash, yot shoer, or to lock the gates, guard the gates. And for a Kohen is to do avoda in the Mikdash. So they had to have an acceptance of the mitzvot in order to do this. And we have seen this before in Chulin, Shneamar, Hamakriv et Dam HaShlamim. Who's entitled to the Matnot Kehuna? The one who's Makriv et Dam HaShlamim. Avodah Mesurah L'Bnei Aaron. The avodah is given over to Bnei Aaron. Kol Kohen She'enu Modeba. Any Kohen that does not subscribe to the Avodah, in lo chelik bekehuna. He doesn't have a portion in the Kehuna. He's not entitled to the Matnot Kehuna. So we have to have an acceptance by the individual that he understands what the Karbanot is about, he understands what the Avodah is about, and that he believes in it. And if he believes in it, then he can participate. If he doesn't believe in it, he can't participate. No, he thinks that there's efficacy to bringing Karbanot, that it has benefit to Hashem. That he doesn't say, oh, this is just a waste of time, it's a ceremony. Alright, if we see in his house already he's trying, and he's already keeping basically divrei chaverot, then we accept him right away, and we teach him after the fact. Vimlav, if we don't know yet, we have no evidence, no chazaka, that he's keeping these mitzvot of the chaverot, then balamdimoto, first we teach him, and then we accept him. Shem Yochai says we accept him right away, and then we teach him what he needs to know. That it's enough that a person has the will to do it. If a person wills to do it and is willing to accept it, that's enough of a reason to accept him. And then from there, we teach him exactly what he needs to know. That's an important factor, I think, just a psychological factor, that a person has the desire and the will to come along and to accept it upon himself and to do it, and we don't reject him at that point just because he doesn't have the knowledge to do it. We say, come on and do it right now, because if we teach him first, and then later on, it may never work out. Here, if we bring in and we elevate him, we bring up our expectations with him, then we think he'll live up to those expectations that he accepts it, and then he'll learn. If he learns first and then has to accept it, that desire might dwindle over time and he won't have it. Here, we get him when he's excited about it. Once he's excited about it, then he'll live up to those expectations. And that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. Tan Rabbanan, Mikablim leknafayim, v'afakach mikablim letarot. When it comes to divrei chaverot, we first accept him for, knafayim is his wings, but people's wings are their hands. We first accept him to be makpid on netilat yadayim. As Rashi says, the ikar shmira v'achilat chulin bitara is washing your hands. Because for truma, yadayim are shniot lituma, and you can't eat truma. So washing your hands before you eat is essential in terms of being shomer chulin bitara. And therefore we say, first make sure or be makpid about netilat yadayim. And then afterwards, we're mekabelim for the broader issues of the tarot. Once you've gotten the netilat yadayim thing down pat, then we accept him for other issues within tarot. V'im amar eini mekabel al knafayim. If he says, I'm only going to be makpid and washing hands, mekabelim oto. He can accept that. Kibel al tarot, v'lo kibel al knafayim. If he accepts for the broader issues of tarot, but not washing one's hands, Avodarot lo kibel. That's a building block. It's a basic block here. You can't have it be that he doesn't wash his hands, but he keeps other issues of tarot. That doesn't make sense. You got to go from the basic to the more complex. And therefore, Netilat Yadayim is a prerequisite for the acceptance of tarot, of chulin b'tara and divrei chavirut. Right, Tana Rabbanan, Adam kama mikablim oto. How long do we have to see that he is keeping these items before we accept him? Does Ad kama mikablim oto? Rashi brings down two interpretations of what that means. Number one is, how long, like we explained, Ad kama yinaeg mitchilash nikablim oto. How long do we have to see him doing this before he can accept divrei chavirut? The other way, possibility is, how long until after his acceptance do we wait and say, okay, now we know that he's mukhzak chaver? That's the two ways to read it. One is, if he accepted divrei chavirut, how long do we believe him? Unless we've seen him being machzik in it, how long does that trust last? So that's one possibility is, how long does this trust last? The other possibility is, how long beforehand does he have to act this way in order for us to accept him as a chaver? Bet Shemai omrim, the mashkim shloshim yom. Mashkim that we come to make very easily, we have to see that he's makpira mashkim for 30 days. The ksut, for clothing, shnei masar chodesh. You have to be 12 months. You have to know that he's 12 months. So we know that the big day amaretz are midras lechaverim. Big day amaretz are classified as being tamei for chaverim because of the problem of ishtel nida, the problems of becoming tamei. So if he already makpira on tara with mashkim, which comes up all the time, does it for 30 days, then we say, fine, he's on track, and we can accept him. For ksut, if we want to believe that his clothing is also betara, you have to wait 12 months. Both of them, we have to see that he keeps it for 12 months. To accept divrei chaverut in these areas, you need to wait 12 months, both for mashkim and for ksut. So why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah Nediot that lists all the times that Beit Shammai is the kula and Beit Hillel is the chumra? No, it must be that Beit Hillel says either 30 days is sufficient in both of them. That way, Beit Hillel is the kula, keeps the tara for 30 days, then his mashkim as well as his clothing are classified as being torim, have been under the hashkocha of the chavirim. Tana Rabbanan. Ba'al lekabel divrei chavirut, tzarich lekabel bifnei shlosha chavirim. Person who accepts chavirut as a doan in front of three people. Ubanav ubnei beito in tzarichim lekabel bifnei shlosha chavirim. His family, meaning his wife and his children, do not have to do it in front of the three chavirim. They are brought along with him. Shimon Gamliel omer, af banav ubnei beito tzarichim lekabel bifnei shlosha chavirim. The impetus for keeping something, the way you will deal with this, relate to the mitzvah, really depends on how much you were involved in the acceptance of the mitzvah. And therefore, it's someone who is a chaver that accepts it, and by derivative, his children and his wife have to keep it, they are not as makpid if they do it themselves, if they accept it themselves. And therefore, we're going to demand that the family, not only this individual, but the entire family, accept it in front of divrei chaverut, so they know the severity of the issue, they understand what's expected of them. Turn Rabbanan. Someone who comes to accept this chaverut does do it in front of three. Even a talmid chacham does not get an automatic in here. It's not a default that he's a chaver. He has to accept it in front of three chaverim. Zakein v'yoshev yeshiva. He's a zakein. He's sitting in the yeshiva already for many years. Eino tzarich lekabel b'fnei shlosha chavirim. Shavar kibel alav misha sheyashav. Because if he's already in the yeshiva this long, he's either a rosh yeshiva, he's giving shir, he already accepted on himself this when he sat down, when he became appointed to be a leader within the yeshiva. So since he already did that at that time, we don't expect him to do it again separately. Abishol omer, af tamid chacham eino tzarich lekabel b'fnei shlosha chavirim. Abishol says that a tamid chacham gets a default status of a chaver, doesn't have to have a specific acceptance in front of three chavirim. Lo, de'el shacharim mekablim lefanav. Not only that, even though he had no official acceptance, he can be one of the representatives to have people accept in front of him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mei b'no shir Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus, yishneit mitshna zu. That in the time of the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that this demand that the Talmidei Chachamim accept Divrei Chavirut in front of three is from the time period of the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus.
Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, istapek lehu milta betarot. They had a question in Dinei Tarot. Shadru Rabbanan legabei bno shel Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus. So they had a suffix. They said Rabbanan decided to send a pair of Rabbanan over to the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus to ask him the question. Azidu amrulei labayin bo.
They sent them to Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginus and told them to ask him to look into the matter, to investigate this issue.
Brought it over to him and asked him to look into it. Shkachua dekatayin taharot. So he was carrying tarot, or that he was not tarot, he was guarding his tarot. Otiv Rabbanan midide legabayu v'kayiyu liyuneba.
Rabbi Chanina ben Tugenius placed some of his talmidim there to guard over the Taharot and to watch these Talmidei Chachamim so that they wouldn't come into contact with the Taharot.
Well, he went to look into the issue, meaning that he didn't trust these Talmidei Chachamim with his Taharot. Atu Amri Le Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. They went and told Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi that this son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus doesn't trust us. We're Talmidei Chachamim coming in here and he's not treating us like Chaverim. What's going on? This is a long-storied part of their family. His father did the same thing, and now the son is doing the same thing. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, I don't think that he was mevazet Talmid Chachamim. We should still give kavod to Rabbi Chanina ben Tugenus and his son. The Kohanim, Nohag Chumrot, they had extra careful when it comes to Taharot. They separated themselves out. They had this unique status that they didn't share with anybody else. They would not give over Taharot to anyone else. And so therefore, this din that Rabbi Chanina ben Tugenus and his son were keeping, they were Kohanim, was not because they didn't trust Chavirim, but because Kohanim kept themselves in a unique status, in a unique place, that they didn't trust anybody. From the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they no longer trusted anybody with Taharot, and therefore they didn't even with Chaverim. And Talmidei Chachamim, they kept themselves separate, and they didn't trust anyone. It wasn't unique to you, it wasn't special about you, it wasn't that he didn't trust you, they don't trust anybody. And therefore, they take care of their own Taharot, and they guard their own Taharot. Tana Banan, Chaver Shemait, Chaver that passes away, Ishto Vanav, Uvnei Vito Harihen Bechezkatan Achiyach Shedu. His family, his wife, his children, continue to have the chazak of a Chaver like he did, until we find something that makes us question whether they are really keeping it. Until they are suspected of doing otherwise, they are Chavirim. Bechein Chatzer Shemokrim Bat Chelet, an area, a chatzer where they sold tchelet, they had hashkocha for tchelet, and it was approved, and it wasn't kala ilan. If the chatzer has that chazaka, ari bechazkata should tipasel. That has its chazaka as selling kosher tchelet until we have a reason to believe that it's not that way. Tarabanan. Eshet amaretz, shenisei v'chaver. A wife of an amaretz that ends up getting married to a chaver. Whether it was after divorce or after she was an almana, she gets married to a chaver. V'chein bito shel amaretz, shenisei v'chaver. The daughter of an amaretz that marries a chaver. Ken abdo shel amaretz. V'chein abdo shel amaretz, shenimkar l'chaver, that sold to a chaver. Kulan tzrichim lekabel divrei chaverut. They have to accept upon themselves divrei chaverut, because until this point in time they were not shomer, they lived with an amaretz, they did not have this hakpado. So even though now they're marrying a chaver, or even though now they're going to be owned by a chaver, they still have to personally accept upon themselves the divrei chaverut. We don't say default because they're marrying a chaver or because they're owned by a chaver that they automatically become chaverim. We have to have specific acceptance of it. About eshet chaver shniseid amaretz, the other way around. What happens if an eshet chaver, her husband passed away, and now she marries an amaretz? V'chein bito shel chaver shniseid amaretz, v'chein avdo shel chaver shnimkar amaretz, in tuchim lekabel divrei chaverut b'tchila. They do not have to re-accept divrei chaverut. What do you mean accept divrei chaverut? They're going to be with an amaretz now. Over there, they're not going to keep divrei chaverut. But the Rashi says it's when they come back. When they come back, and they end up being a chaver again, or marrying a chaver again, in that instance, they don't have to have a re-acceptance of their divrei chaverut. Their original divrei chaverut will stand. The only reason that they lost that status right now is because they were involved with an amaretz. But when they come back, we assume that they will return to their old ways and keep their divrei chaverut. Rabbi Meir Omer, afein tzrichin lekabel lehem divrei chaverut lechatchila. Rabbi Meir says, if they went and they live with an amaretz, they've lost that status, they've lost that chazaka. They haven't practiced it for a while. When they come back, they have to re-accept it. The fact that they're willing to marry an amaretz, they're willing to be with an amaretz, that already detracts from their divrei chaverut, and they have to re-accept it. Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishim Rabbi Meir, a very famous story. Ma'aseh b'shachat shenisait lechaver. This woman, she married a chaver. Vayitak omat lo tefillin al yodo. She used to help him put on his tefillin on his arm. Yiseit l'amaretz. After, whether it was a divorce or she passed away, she was an almana. Yiseit l'amaretz. She married an amaretz. Vayitak kosher lo kosher moches al yodo. She used to tie the receipts for the tax collectors on his arm. Over there, the assumption being that the tax collectors were not honest and that they were stealing from the people, they weren't rightfully taking the taxes. And therefore, you see over here that this woman was pliable. She went with the flow. Wherever she went with the flow. When she was married to a chaver, she did divrei chaverut. She was married to amaretz, she practiced like an amaretz, she acted like an amaretz. She was very flexible. And therefore, this supports, this is Rav Shimon Lazar in the name of Rabbi Meir, but supports that position of Rabbi Meir, that a woman who goes off to be with an amaretz, that we don't automatically, when she comes back, assume that she's going to return to her divrei chaverut, because she'll leave the chaverut in a second. It's not something that stays with her. It's not something that is permanent. And therefore, every year, we'll assume that if she went to live with an amaretz, and now wants to return, that we really have to retrain her, and we have to have reacceptance of the divrei chaverut. Okay, we'll stop over here.